Yeah, they'll do that.
Well, welcome to the roundtable for August 14th. Hard to believe it's already the middle of the month. And supposedly, according to the numerology calendar, it's supposed to be a high energy day. And I can attest to that because my day has been an absolute shit show. So tonight we're going to talk through a lot. We got an hour and a half to talk through a number of topics. I want to start out with some of the current news because there's a lot in the news today. First of all, let's start with the monkeypox thing that's blowing up all over Twitter. I want everybody to realize we've talked about this. We go back 6 months. We were talking about this 6 months ago, a year ago. They're going to release some kind of a pathogen and try it for lockdowns again. Now we know what it is. It's monkeypox. They started in Africa. They've already declared an emergency. We know how this situation develops. It's going to develop over the next several weeks. By the time we get to November, they will have some bullshit reason why it's here. So if you haven't prepared for conflict with your neighbors and lockdowns, now's the time to do it because it's coming. Because this time it will be a fight. At this time, it will be kinetic in the street. People are not going to put up with lockdowns. We're not going to have blue helmets in our streets. We're not going to deal with any more of these edicts from all these fucking governors. Fights on. That said, I read a story just before I got online about the Social Security office being hacked and literally everyone's Social Security number across the entire United States was compromised by hackers. Let me just call that out. First of all, that's 100% bullshit. You are being played. This entire game is about driving people away and villainizing the federal government and driving it towards social scoring systems, universal basic income, and a control grid. And if they take away your Social Security number and say, we're going to have to do away with Social Security, they have to drive everybody to universal basic income. That's the game. Don't buy into any of that. It's all BS. This hack was probably done by the fucking CIA, the FBI, and CISA all together. And if you think I'm kidding, they have software that can spoof any IP address on the planet and make it look like the attack came from Iran, but really it was probably right from Virginia. So don't buy into any of that crap. The other thing that I saw today was ATM machines being rolled out, set up for the chips under your skin, digital ID, as well as vaccine passports. So they're already trying to push a control grid. And if you haven't been to the store lately, go to Sprouts or go to any Whole Foods, and I guarantee you there's going to be a facial recognition at the checkout as well as a facial scan. And every time you check out, they're scanning your face. I don't know about you, but I didn't realize that Sprouts was an intelligence organization, and under Title 10, you're not allowed to collect on American citizens without their consent. And number one, you're not allowed to collect on American citizens without some kind of due cause or as a probable cause. So all of that's bullshit, all of it. And you should be infuriated by what you're hearing right now because they're literally trying to consolidate power. And now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody asked me, when do the guns come out? This is when they come out. The moment they announce lockdowns is when they will come out. You will see that happen this year. All right, so I want to start out with operational security, and I want to talk about signals intelligence, as well as communication security. So I'll open it up to either Matt, Joe, Chris, Troop. All you guys can talk this. So who wants to start?
I always defer to Matt on SIGINT. Matt and Kay, they are the guys.
So one of you two guys jump in there and start talking. Say some of that calm shit.
Okay, fine. First off, Sprouts is an asset. Okay, let's get our terminology right. But seriously, and they're doing that with all kinds of these companies. Okay, not just Sprouts or Whole Foods. We're going to see it roll out across the board. And these companies are just happy to comply, or they're pressured into complying. You know, this is the same way that we got back doors and all our routers. People always ask, how did that happen? Oh, very easily. If you want to do business in the U.S., guess what? You're going to do this. You're going to backdoor. So just from my little piece of this, I would say at this point, people have got to be minimizing their digital footprint, if nothing else. You know, I don't remember who said it the other day. Somebody said the term digital exhaust, and I thought that was really apropos. It is. It's digital exhaust. We need to get it curtailed. There's a lot of TTPs out there that I cover, Matt covers, and, you know, there's a few other people that go over that stuff. But the time to do this was yesterday. So people, you're playing catch up now if you're not implementing this stuff right now. Okay. Everybody is online. Everybody's watching the show. Everybody's on their phone. If you're not plugging those leaks, if you're not jamming up the signal because they're collecting on you, then, you know, you're giving them a lot. You're giving them the tools to build an intelligence packet, to build a target package on you. You know, if this ends up kinetic, and it probably will, well, I want to make sure I'm denying my opponent any kind of really tangible, useful intelligence. So
the question is how? How do you, what everybody's going to ask the how. So let's start with the how.
All right. I'll jump in here too. I mean, Chris always spot on and exactly right. But the how to is first, everybody, every swinging Richard, every one of us is carrying your surveillance device. So understand that at a minimum, there are three pieces of data. Something that Chris threw out there was your patterns of life and the target packet. So one of the ways that we hunt, that I hunted, and Chris has done this as well, in a higher tier capacity than I did, that you're building target packets on individuals because they have a value, some value to the machine, whatever it is. With us, it was primarily Haqqani network guys that were bagmen and facilitators. So understand, you know, what worth you have. But that's the context of Afghanistan, right? Here in the United States, you may not think that you're particularly important, but believe me, you have value to somebody. So typically when we get into these conversations, you know, mindset needs to be understood first, because a lot of what we can get into, and we jump into the deep end of things, people tend to either shut down as a coping mechanism, just kind of like shut it all off, or they'll have some sort of other coping mechanism like, well, I'm not that important anyway. No, you're not that important right now. Maybe not. You actually don't. Most of us are probably not aware of what our actual importance in some sort of hierarchy is. And when I say some sort of hierarchy, you may not realize that you are the target of something much larger. Okay. So where that goes, right? So understand that, you know, all of us have a surveillance device is collecting three pieces of data on you, right? And it is, it the first is your MC number, right? It's through your cell phone. Most of us are carrying it everywhere. I think the statistic is we're not more than 5 feet away from our phone at any given time. Adults in America aren't. The first is the MC number, IMSI number, International Mobile Subscriber Identity. And this is your SIM card. You have to have a SIM card and a phone, right? You're not sidestepping that. Right, the second is IMEI, International Mobile Equipment Identifier. This number is assigned to all phones. You're not sidestepping that either. Okay, period. Not going to happen. It doesn't matter. You know, you buy, you know, K's got an excellent product. I mean, yeah, I've got his right here, right? I'm pipelining everything because I live out in the cut and Starlink doesn't have the best bandwidth for live streaming. But, you know, K's phone's an incredible product, you know, and totally unsolicited. Just, you know, I've been a user of it for, this is the second one that I've had now. I've been a user for what, like 4 years? It's been a while. But understand that you're not sidestepping that data. Okay, period. You're not sidestepping that data. And then the final third piece of this is your actual carrier number itself, which is your cell phone number. All right, these three pieces of data are geolocating you everywhere that you go. And that all of that data is being collected either by AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. Okay, and possibly all three, because they have agreements with one another when you're going from one service area to another. Even if you go to a place where, you know, your phone doesn't work anymore, but you can still call 911, guess what? Yeah, it's still working and it's still transmitting. And any 911 call center in the United States can pinpoint the location of that phone down to a meter, 1 meter. Okay. So they know where it is. That's how we get last known location of missing persons. That's how we do that, is look at the phone data. That's your first stop. Okay. So geolocation builds patterns of life. Patterns of life are those behaviors that we have that create a timeline of our activities. And that creates in turn a baseline of what we do. Okay. How to sidestep this, right? Quick and dirty, because this is, these are courses that, you know, I cover it in a couple of courses, kind of give you an overview of it. Kay does, goes into the deep end of it and, you know, incredibly valuable knowledge there. But, you know, I know that I get a lot of people in class who are like, you know, what about this guy's phone or that guy's phone? Like you are still using a phone. Okay. Understand what it is doing, what it isn't doing. It's still collecting all that information. It's still feeding it into the machine, and it's doing that. You know, the Heritage Foundation, by the way, this is an example of this. The Heritage Foundation looked at the guy that shot Trump, right? Shazier, that guy, Crooks. I was trying to remember his name. They used an open source, well, mostly open source program. It's a program that scrapes open source data to find Crooks's patterns of life and map it. And they put that out on Twitter. Right? Anybody can do this. It's not some spooky agencies doing it. You know how they did it? They did it with ad tracking, right? And with that guy's logins. And they paired the data. Okay. When they create data, this is what's called data parity. And when you pair that, you overlay one piece of data with another, you have a match, right? This matches the patterns of life. This is exactly what we do. Did this overseas. We did it in a more rudimentary way. How do you sidestep this? The first thing is quit using your phone for literally everything that you do. You know, I'm behind a laptop right now. I primarily use a laptop for my engagement with the internet. Get into the habit of doing that once again. All right. Why? Because there's a lot of data that is optimized for tracking mobile devices out there, because that's just reflective of our collective social patterns of life. So everybody uses mobile data for everything these days, right? That's going to mitigate part of the patterns of life collection. It doesn't mitigate what your cell phone is collecting in terms of your behaviors as of where you carry it, but that's easy enough. Just leave it at home. Now, there's some people who are going to say, well, you know, hey, I've got this Mission Darkness bag or EMP proof bag, whatever it is, Mylar lined Faraday cage is essentially what it is. Well, this is the problem with these. Okay. They work if you are, let's say I'm meeting with someone, and like let's say, for example, I'm a private investigator, because this is a scenario that's most relevant in my mind. And I'm meeting with a source, or I'm meeting with an intentional, you know, the target of my investigation, whatever it might be. And that conversation I don't want recorded by a third party. That's where those bags come into play. Because you put them in there, they reduce, you know, they reduce or eliminate your signal. it's not ever 100%, because most people in my experience do not seal the bags properly. If it has a zipper on it and you don't take the time to fold it in the proper ways, you're not cutting it off completely. But let's say, you know, I'm doing that to mitigate what the phone's actually collecting and reporting back to a third party, because whenever you sign agreements with whatever websites that are out there, a lot of times they can access the microphone and camera on your phone without your physical consent each single time. Okay, so that's where your privacy phones come in, because they're the ones they're going to cut those off. Kay's phone, I know for a fact, does this. But get out of the habit of carrying your phone everywhere with you, because if you think that, you know, well, I'll just put this in this bag and I'll be good to go, what you've actually done is created a hole in your patterns of life, which in and of itself is an indicator of a pattern of life. So as a collector, if I was collecting the information on a target to be refined into intelligence, right? Because that raw data is not intelligence. OSINT, by the way, is not intelligence. It's just information. That's all. I love picking on the OSINT crowd. But we have to further refine and verify that data. So now that's created a gap, and I'm going to begin to look at other targets of interest using a relation map. Okay. This is a relation map that I've created. People that are, so basically, I want everybody to do this. If you have a Twitter account, there is a website out there. I think it's called Twitter Circle, or just look up Twitter Circle. That's it. So get on there, enter, you know, your screen name or anybody's handle on there, and it'll pop up a spider web. Right, you'll be in the middle of that spider, but all these people, like the inner circle, the people that you talk to the most or engage with the most, the outer circle will be the next outer ring of that, you know, and you can build it as many. So you know what that is? That's a relation map. And this
can analyst be done, notebook making a link chart. Yeah.
Right. This can be done on you, by the way, through every social media company, every single one of them. They're doing this in real time, by the way. This is how they can suggest people for you to follow. Facebook is actually really, really bad about this, because they do it with proximity mapping as well. If TikTok does this also, it actually compares the geolocation. It's doing this in real time. It compares the geolocation of your phone and the account associated with that phone with other people that you might have done a brush pass with and you had absolutely no idea. And it's going to tell you this. It's collecting all that data in real time. This is why there was such a hubbub about TikTok. Was they actually overplayed their hand with TikTok. They exposed what all the other social media companies are doing in real time. This is exactly what they're doing. This is how we were able to go after so many HVIs during the Arab Spring years in Libya, because we were literally using Facebook to do this. Until it became known that we were doing that, then we moved a lot of the operations over to Twitter. Maybe Twitter was faster by the time Syria kicked off. So leave your phone at home. Begin forgetting about your phone. I don't necessarily need that, right? That's going to look like to the machine, and a lot of this is AI driven, by the way. What this is going to do is begin to look like you just stay a lot, you know, at home a lot of your time. And you're kind of a boring target at that point. You don't look like anything important, because it's every one of these layers to the onion. You know, Kay has said this in class, and I've heard him say it in Ground Rock, where, you know, there's no technique that's absolute that's going to protect you. There's no talisman that's absolute that's going to protect you. It's one smoke screen after another. You know, I thought that was one of the most brilliant quotes of many in Ground Rod. But that was one of the very best ones, was that this is what we're doing. We're adding layers to it, because everybody seems to get into this notion of, I'm going to do this one thing and then I can continue my same old bad habits. That ain't how it works. Okay. That is not how it works. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no magic talisman. Here's another thing that I'm going to throw out there. So tablets, right? We all do have to access the internet in one fashion or another. That is kind of how the reality of the day. I mean, I'm a fairly Luddite person myself, and I wish that we could just throw all technology away more often than not. However, we have to engage with something, so we change up our patterns of life. A Wi-Fi-only tablet, okay? A Wi-Fi-only tablet. And I don't mean a tablet that you get from a cell phone, because you just have a big cell phone when you do that. But a Wi-Fi-only tablet. I control now completely the point of access, whether it's accessing the internet or whether it is not, whether it is accessing any sort of network or whether it is not, okay? Get one that is Android-based, because Android-based products are open source. It's not because they're better than Apple or Apple's better than, I don't care. Okay, Apple builds really nice hardware, but their software is closed source. I cannot control, and I have zero control over what it does on the back end.
Okay? Assume that both Google and Apple iOSs are exactly the same, owned by
Well, they are, but here's the thing. I can mitigate much of what Google does with an open source device, because I can go in there and I can remove a lot of the threat vectors that are in there if I know what they are. Everything most that people, is Google based is
most people is won't. Yeah, most people won't have that technical capability. But I hear what you're saying, right? I'm talking to the average person, right?
Right. I understand. But this is a big step in helping them. So you can remove that. You can mitigate much of that. Okay. Maybe not 100% of it, but you can mitigate much of it. And you have a greater control over your life. All right. The next thing, there are several open source messaging apps that are great to use. A couple I'm going to mention because they're out there. I'm not going to say that they're not potentially compromised in one way or another, because I'm not the auditor of them, okay? And that's outside my lane. But I will say that they are not on the main beaten path, and it's all about mitigating the metadata. Signal has a strong level of metadata attached to it, okay? There's no sidestepping that. I don't care how many security auditors are like, oh, it's great, it's encrypted, okay? Yeah, but the CEO of the company is Chrissy Mayer, who is the CEO of also the CEO of NPR, and her entire family on both sides are all intelligence agency people and career intelligence agency people. So that ought to tell you something. Should be a big warning sign right there if you look into her. Plus, if it's free, you're very likely to be the product in most cases. But there's a couple of apps out there that are really good for messaging. The first one that I strongly recommend is Session. Okay, Session is very simple to use, very simple to configure, and you can create a closed network of people that there's very little metadata that's being passed. All right, you can do this all entirely via a Wi-Fi network. So you're phone calling, your text messaging, and it has a video conferencing option. All right, another one is Briar. Briar is really good. I particularly like Briar because Briar has a Bluetooth option. So let's say I'm doing, you know, urban surveillance on a target, and I set up my network of my guys that are conducting the surveillance. We're all using small tablets that look like e-readers, and we're all within Bluetooth range of one another, right? About 700 meters or so inside of an urban environment. We can now communicate, and I mean, that's a place where carrying a big heckin' radio isn't conducive to covert surveillance, right? So Briar is another option, has the same degree of protections and usability as Session does. But it also has the ability to create an offline forum that is indexable only by the Bluetooth capability. So I can network several devices and have a repository of information. So if I'm building a target package on a guy and I'm creating patterns of life, I can have everybody on my team when we do a surveillance handoff after, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. And they now have a record of the patterns of life there of that person that they can pull up. Oh, but it looks like I'm just reading my Kindle over here on the street corner, you know, sitting on a park bench or playing chess with another guy or whatever with my tablet sitting here. Looks completely innocuous, right? That's another messaging app, and you can message people over, you know, wherever they have an internet point to hit, right? A third one, this is a really good one, and I credit K with this one, is Adamant, right? Now, Adamant is runs on blockchain, there's a cryptocurrency element to it as well. Really, really good. There's a number of uses for Adamant aside from its messaging capability, and I'll let Chris dovetail in on that. But those three are kind of the ones that I center. There's other ones. I'm not going to burn them out, but that's really, really what you want to focus on. Now, where to find an internet hotspot? All right. So I know that this is going to be a question for a lot of the listeners. Look into war driving. So when I need to access an internet point, so I'm not carrying my phone with me, right? I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, and I'm not carrying a phone to do it. I need to access an internet point. What you do is you cut on your Wi-Fi. There's an app called Thing, right? You can actually just ride around and scan for open Wi-Fi ports. And you'd be very surprised. I just do this anyway, just to, you know, make a mental note of where they are in my working environment. I'll ride around anywhere I'm going to a new place. I'm getting ready to be on the road for a bit. I'm going to do that on my entire route of ingress and my entire route of egress coming back, however far that is. And I'll make a note of where those open internet access points are. Most places that you go, gas stations, coffee shops, fast food places, they will actually have an open internet access point, right, that you can get in. So you can send that out. Right. You can send those messages out and then bam, you're off the network and you're gone. OK, now, if somebody's really out to drop the hammer on you, those safeguards aren't going to be absolute. OK, but we're talking again, the smoke screens, right? Putting the smoke screens up, the layers of the onion, you're a much more difficult target at that point to hit than somebody just using a cell phone. This is easy.
Yeah, let me flesh out a couple things that Matt touched on, because that's a lot. tablets. So really valid point about tablets versus phones. Honestly, what would really be ideal is a phone-sized tablet, which it's something I'm working on, but you know, you can also tear it apart and pull out the cellular radio. But as far as like solutions for the normies out there, I know we're some people's eyes are probably crossing with all this. Couple things. Going Wi-Fi only. Matt mentioned war driving. So a good source to get you started with that would be wiggle.net. It's going to be wigle.net. And that's going to be a nationwide map of every Wi-Fi point in the country. You're probably going to find your residence on there and your SSID of your home network. It feels a little dirty, but that's just people driving around your neighborhood and scooping up your information and plugging it into that database. So that's a thing that exists. It can be leveraged against you, but it's also something that you can leverage. Okay. So that's a tool right there. Just because I'm connecting to Wi-Fi and I'm avoiding the trap of cellular doesn't mean that there's no cons. There's still issues that have to be dealt with. One of those is all of your various devices, your mobile devices, they keep a log of every Wi-Fi point you've connected to in the past. Okay. And you can find this in your settings, and you're going to find all the credentials for every Wi-Fi point you've logged into. And guess what? It shares this information with the current Wi-Fi point that you connect to. And you can see where this is going. Okay, so one way you can mitigate against that real quick is go into your settings on your iPhone, your Android, whatever device you've got, and purge all that data. All it means as far as your discomfort is you're going to have to type in your credentials again on your home Wi-Fi point or at your favorite coffee house Wi-Fi point or whatever. But if you don't purge that, I have a huge relationship map of where you've been, where you're going, places you frequent. So me as a hunter, that's making my job real easy. So that's a super easy thing. You don't need special equipment. You can just go into your settings and purge that. Okay. Second, IP masking and IP spoofing is a thing. You should be using it. Okay. There's different techniques for doing it. Some are better than others. It's not a panacea. It's not going to fix everything. And, let the buyer beware is in play here as well, especially when we start talking about VPNs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Most VPNs out there are garbage in their honeypot operations.
Yes, so they are.
One thing. You always keep this in mind when you're dealing with a VPN. A, no company's going to go to jail for you. Okay. They are bound by the laws of their jurisdiction. All right. So think about that when you're choosing what company you're going to trust your information to. Okay. Second, if you're trying to be anonymous with the VPN, you could do everything right, but if you pay with your credit card or your bank card, guess what? They know who you are. Okay. Financials are real easy to track in this day and age. All right. So keep those things in mind.
I would add a couple of things to that, Chris. Mm-hmm. So the Tor browsers are sticky for a couple of reasons. One, they can lead you down a couple of different paths that are not good, depending on which browser you're using. So beware with Tor browsers and beware that you're beaconing a lot of different places, including the dark web, when you start using a Tor browser, and some of those are already compromised. So be careful with Tor. Yeah, you know what I'm saying though, Chris. You know exactly where I'm going. I'll let you chime in just a second. The other thing to keep in mind too is it's not just your cell phone, your tablets, your laptops, your vehicle too. If you have a new vehicle, go out to Vehicle Privacy. I think it's vehicleprivacyreport.com and take a look at what your vehicle is beaconing. All the way back to 2015, vehicles are sending data and they have cameras around the car. So even if you think you have an older vehicle, I guarantee you it's sending something. I've pulled breakers out of both of my vehicles to figure out which pieces of the car don't work when I do that. And at some point, you might consider pulling the breakers so that your car has no comms with anything. Because at some point, they are going to shut down social media platforms and they're going to shut down comm platforms. So, and I want to touch on session real quick. Session requires you to go out and create a session ID that you use to communicate with. That's your actual screen name, is your ID. So if you're not familiar with setting that up, it's going to be a few steps before you set it up, but it's a lot more secure than Signal, which was funded by the CIA. So assume they get everything too. And then I want to answer a couple of questions. So Graphene OS for O'Bradley, I just started looking at today. Chris can talk more about it. And then Tree, you were asking about Bluetooth. Here's something that, and this is right from the horse's mouth. If it beacons and emits a signal, I can track it and figure out where it is. And I can track it, hack it, and manipulate it. So it may not be easy, but I can do it. And assume that if I can do it, then the feds that are on the other side of that listening can do it probably better or just as efficiently or more efficiently than I could. And I've done war driving. I've done attack side work. I've done exploitation. I've seen all those facets and know exactly how hard it is to do reconnaissance, to do manipulation of networks and keep the noise signature down. But Bluetooth on a plane, that's an open invitation to fuck with you. So take that for what it's worth. And just remember that if you're emitting the signal, somebody's listening. especially if you're in a coffee shop, if you're moving around and you're not paying attention to which Wi-Fi you connect to, someone is listening. And I can tell you I've sat in many coffee shops way back in the day and collected a lot of information on people in the room, and it didn't take very long to do it because everybody posts everything on social media. So when we talk about minimizing your footprint digitally, that means minimize your footprint on social media, minimize your footprint with your phone, minimize your footprint with your vehicle, minimize your footprint with social media, especially get, you know what I'm talking about, those Facebook people. Okay, I just cooked breakfast. Okay, now I'm having coffee. Okay, I'm going to go take a big dump now. Okay, I just finished that. I'm going to go to work now. Those kind of people give the intelligence agencies everything they need to know about their life patterns. The whole point of this exercise is to minimize your life patterns and your footprint so that they have to do the legwork to figure it out and do surveillance. But more importantly, it makes you a smaller target. So you want to talk graphing, Chris, and Tor browsers, because I know you got a lot to say about it.
Yeah. And I see some stuff in the comments I need to address as well. So just real quick, because it's at the front of my head. Cars, 2008 is kind of your magic year, generally speaking. That's when things really started getting added to the cars. So if you're looking for a backup car, a shit hits the fan car, pre-2008 would be a good starting point. Graphene OS and Calyx OS, those would be my two preferred Android-based operating systems that you can put on a tablet or a phone. Okay. Now, just for clarity's sake, there's Google Android, and then there's Android based on AOSP, the Android Open Source Project. So at its core, Android is built on the Linux kernel, Linux being an open source kernel for the various Linux operating systems out there. So ipso facto, Android is a type of Linux. The user space is structured differently and arguably more secure than a desktop Linux, but that's not really germane to what we're talking about here. Graphene OS has some really well-conceived kernel level hardening that we really don't see anywhere else out there. And for that reason, as well as their network stack hardening, Graphene is pretty much wearing the crown as far as, you know, the securest phone, as secure as we can get a phone, realizing it's still a phone, is going to be Graphene. There are some usability issues, which is why for a lot of my clients, I'll put Calyx OS on the phone, which is essentially a fork off of ASOP and Graphene. It's a little bit more user-friendly. And again, everything kind of goes back to your threat model. You know, and threat modeling is a thing. That's something you should look at getting better at, because that's going to be the filter on how you make your decisions. So if we go back to the tablet, you know, as far as wiping our footprints, as far as Wi-Fi, spoofing our MAC address, because that's your first leak point. Because that's from the device to the entry point into the network. That's what gets you out onto the big bad internet. So that local router in Starbucks that you're connecting to, okay, it has a log in that router that is subpoenable that is going to be stored for, you know, who knows how long. And that's going to tie directly to your device. So there are ways to spoof that. So you want to spoof your MAC address. Everything, according to the FCC, that has a, you know, emission. So if you're looking at a laptop or a tablet, you've got a MAC address on your Bluetooth module. You've got a separate MAC address on your Wi-Fi module. Your NFC is going to have a separate one. So, and these are things like Stephen was saying, your Bluetooth should be in an off state. Okay, Bluetooth is... there's no good way to really harden Bluetooth. So Bluetooth is always an Achilles heel. Just not using it as much as possible is a good thing. NFC, have it turned off. Your print server, have that turned off. All these things, all these tentacles reaching out. If you don't need them, have them turned off. You should have your, you know, your cameras covered with something. I mean, this is kind of low level stuff, but it does make a difference. So, yeah, Graphene OS is a good choice. Kellex, also a good choice. There was something else. Help me out here. There's one more thing I wanted to cover.
They'll yeah, trying to cut back on clairvoyance today. Sorry. Troop or Joe, do you guys want to jump in? I know you guys have stuff to talk to.
Back in, I don't know, the early 2000s, I wrote a white paper on this very thing, how you got your grocery store VIP card, and the intent of that was to help the store determine how much inventory they needed to order to reduce waste, identify shrink patterns, and then they realized they could build profiles. And I wrote a white paper that was predictive about what's called social mobile analytic cloud. Even I think before a lot of these, like even Rumble was a thing and a lot of these other things, the concern being that if you're a jogger and you're really healthy and you have, you know, you're a really great person and a really low credit risk and everything else, and then you go to your uncle's house, who's a heavy smoker and drinker for his birthday, and you just roll through a Walgreens and you get a handle of Jack Daniels and a carton of cigarettes for your uncle, and you use your rewards card and your credit card, boom, now that data is targeted on you, and all of a sudden your insurance rates can go up 3 months later because they're buying it in aggregate and they're making these predictive decisions about who made what purchasing. And anytime they say they anonymize or obfuscate data so that they can analyze it in the aggregate, that is total fucking bullshit. There's so much magic number theory built into that they know exactly who you are, what you do, where you are, where you went, and they will use it all against you. So there's a lot of really good things that everybody's covering, and a lot of, like, my phone will redo its Mac, but you have to remember that you have the three, you know, you have your IMEI, your Mac, your IP, some other things that are on your phone. Plus, you have unique identifiers. I wrote another white paper called Interstitial Communication and Small Form Devices, and it's been quoted by NIST. And that basically means, well, I don't trust my Facebook app, but I trust this app. So I'm going to let this app have access to my microphone, my camera, my whatever, my location. But that app on your same phone can communicate or have APIs open to other apps. And since you trust the app that you installed on your phone, even though you don't trust it with your camera and your location and everything else, it can still get that information from another application. So just don't trust your phone, period, and leave it. But I think, as Matt was saying, as far as developing patterns of life, if, you know, it every Thursday I have a pattern every Thursday that I do. So if there's a sudden abrupt change to that pattern as far as how my phone is reporting, then somebody like Matt is going to notice that. Well, what's going on? This dude's been doing the same thing and had the same route for like the last 3 years. And, you know, I mean, I can understand maybe one day, maybe 2 weeks in a row, but I mean, he's suddenly doing things that are different now than what he normally does. And that's an analyst that can see that. Now we're adding AI to it, that all that does is analyze patterns and look for deviations. You're really setting yourself up if you start changing your habits to think that you're going to obfuscate surveillance by altering the use patterns of your device. A few weeks ago when I moved, I posted some videos where I have some of these Nalgene containers hidden around everywhere. And inside the Nalgene container, I have, like a roll of quarters and some fives and ones and a 20. And I have a water purification and a Sawyer and a bunch of some random shit, a USB drive. And I buried these around. And there was two sites that I buried these, that one they were building a fucking hospital on. And the other one, they started to break ground on it. Looks like an apartment complex. So I lost some assets out there. But if you're jogging every morning, or you should be walking your neighborhood, like as Matt Bracken and the Colonel and I say, you should know, you should have an awareness of your AO. You can do things like pitch stuff behind, you know, those big transformers that you see in every neighborhood, or those 1FBs or those end caps or some other significant public utility that nobody messes around with. You could put notes in there. You could throw USBs in there. You could do whatever you want. Just, you know, as you're walking along, walking your dog, and somebody else can come in and, you know, intercept that information and pick it up. So there's a lot of different ways to communicate. If I was concerned about surveilling of communication for a large group of people, this group that's on the roundtable right now is a perfect example of, if all of our phones, you know, converged in one spot, there would be a lot of eyebrows, and the value of that data once it was detected that it overlapped would get a lot more analysts on that to figure out what was going on. And then they would backtrack and they would see that people bought, tickets to fly. They got rental cars. They're, where are they staying? What are they doing? Where are they going? And the other part of that is if we go, oh, we're going to do a super secret thing and we're going to leave all our phones at the home and the hotel. And then we go to a Starbucks and, as Colonel Murray said, somebody's like filming their girlfriend. Well, they caught a guy from January 6th based on the footprint of his ear geometry. And now we got five very distinct faces. We have a lot of IP enabled surveillance just in our everyday world. And boom, they know exactly where we are. And the type of sound collection devices that they have, even if they aren't, just what they would do is just turn on the microphones and cameras of all the phones that are around you anyway. But you're not going to escape the surveillance state by having this false belief that if you install different kinds of encryption or you obfuscate your movements or you try to do all these, defense in depth type of maneuvers, that you're going to insulate yourself from that. So you got to go Luddite mode. I was just out in my garage and I had my camera up on a tripod and I made some coffee and I made some food, and then all of a sudden my camera overheated and it shut down. So this thing, I don't trust these anyway. I literally don't trust these anyway. But without getting into all the tech, because it's very apparent that everybody on this call has a significant amount of knowledge in that. And the one thing I would say, Calyx is one thing, not Kali, that goes on a laptop. We use Kali for a lot of different security stuff when I was into that. And that's the least secure operating system that you can put on your laptop. If you think that you're gonna use a security tool that security analysts use to protect yourself, really the reason why they have Kali Linux is because they strip everything out of it. And when you're running Kali, you're wide open. It's up to, because it's a promiscuous surveillance tool itself. So you don't want to install these expert level tools and operating systems to think that, oh, well, it's a secure thing, so I'm going to be secure. They're really actually less secure, and they're designed that way. So have conversations with people face to face in private locations. You don't have to build a Faraday cage and an underground skiff and have like Get Smart where you have like, four doors that open and Agent 99 is waiting there. That's all bullshit. Just have private conversations with people and have, maybe a conversation with one person, and then that person on their normal pattern of life has a conversation with somebody else. And it's, kind of a game of telephone that I think all of us are trained in, that where you transfer the message that you got, you don't elaborate, you don't interpolate, you don't extrapolate, you don't do anything but transfer the message that you got. And the way that this matters, because this did get kind of in the weeds on tech, is how would this information be utilized from what Matt was saying? If you're a low-level asset, nobody cares about me, I just follow the trooper channel, I don't do anything, whatever. Well, if a trooper's saying that he's going to have a big rally and trooper changes his pattern of life and all of a sudden there's all these weird spurious emissions that are being detected and they haven't really put them together, and then 18 people get the same random email from a new address that they've never gotten their Yahoo account or whatever, that's probably the bit of information that they're going to want to analyze to figure out, well, where's the protest going to be, or where's the activity going to be? They're very good at sifting out all the sand and, leaving the rocks of information behind. But to go all the way back to what, we're saying about having your loyalty card and your applications and stuff, this Samsung smartphone, every time there's a security update, it reinstalls Monopoly Go, fucking Tetris and other bullshit on my phone. Like, and it doesn't, you have to slide to the like four screens over and you see it repopulate. And I'm like, this, what kind of fucking security update is that? They're resetting the surveillance apparatuses on your phone. Every time you get a security update, it isn't making you more secure, it's making you more able to be surveilled. But just to close on that, the reality of this, you guys might remember, the DCAA, or not DCAA, DMCA, what is that? The thing where you pirate soft, whatever, the music industry, they had the law.
DRM, Digital Rights Management.
Not DRM, but the thing that predicated that.
Digital Copyright Management.
Yeah, they had the Napster, and they had all the stuff. And they also, at the time, had
to use DCMA a lot on a daily basis.
Yeah, so they were buying cards for... I believe it was like DirecTV or something like that, People were buying cards using their credit card on the internet. And these cards were the decryption cards for like a satellite television service. And I don't remember which one it was, but like DirecTV or whatever. And I said, you shouldn't be doing that shit, because if you get caught, you're going to, you know, you're going to be a target for litigation if you don't, you know, if they don't charge you criminally. And I had some friends that were doing that. And I said, you know, it's, I mean, if the service is $30 a month and you're paying $160 for the stupid fucking card, you know, why don't you just buy the service? Well, a lot of people bought this card, and somebody in the chat, you'll know what I'm talking about, early mid 2000s. Well, the FBI raided these companies on the internet that were selling these decryption cards for this DirecTV service or whatever it was. And once they got those, they turned them over to the digital rights, DCAMA or whatever it was. And they sent out like global cease and desist orders and demand letters that everybody who had purchased one of these with their credit card, they just assumed that they were guilty, and they had to pay, you know, some kind of excise on it. Like, you owe us $500 or we're going to sue you and fuck your life up. And so my buddy, a couple of my buddies got those, and they're like, what do we do? I'm like, pay the fine, dude. You're a fucking dipshit. You shouldn't have did that. You broke the law. You used your card. I told you not to do that. And now you're fucked. Right. Or you could hire a lawyer, and they have limitless amounts of money, and you're going to lose. So, you know, but when you're buying things like these solvent traps, you know, this bullshit that you're going to make a silencer out of a fucking mag light.
Those are truly traps. Don't buy them.
Yeah, I mean, they are. And, you know, or the whatever, the Glock switch that you can get from China, all this stuff is designed to fuck you. And a lot of people will even try to obfuscate. Well, I'm going to get a
depends. I mean, if you're a hood rat, if you're a hood rat in downtown Durham, North Carolina, the ATF ain't coming for you. They just drop them off.
Yeah, but if you have something, you know, that they want to take. So with just to end this, I mean, this is a pretty that we could do 5 hours on this easy, or a whole course on this. I think you guys already have courses on this, but communicate with people directly, communicate with people person to person. I still maintain my fountain pens. I write a lot of letters. I have excellent stationery. I have excellent penmanship. And you could, I mean, not to say that letters are any more secure going through the post office, but there's a lot of things that you can do with analog communication, face-to-face communication, understanding how communication networks and handoff. Think of like a baton race, you know, where I'm running, I got a piece of information, and then Joe grabs it and he's running, and then he hands it off to Steve, and then Matt gets it, you know, and every stop along the way, every single one of those entities in that communication chain, they have kind of a fishbone. So here's Brent. Brent's got five people that he can communicate with in his normal life. And then on these five people, they got five people they can communicate with. This is how organic networks are designed. And they've been operating that way for years and years. And the other thing is publications. There's a lot of publications, even here in Phoenix. They used to have one called the Vine or the Grapevine or something. And it was like a clandestine pirate radio type of magazine. It was very popular with the homeless community, prostitutes, drug dealers, low-income people. And there was a lot of coded messaging in the Grapevine where people would literally communicate by posting ads that had keywords in them that other people picked up on because they're communicating face-to-face. And they just used that Grapevine as a way to send clandestine messages just right out in the open, in the clear. So I think we're going to see a resurgence of a lot of that. A lot of those communication businesses.
Like back in the day, the equalizer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how we advertised. I want to
show the equalizer.
Yeah.
Not that new bullshit. Not the great movies with Denzel Washington, but the original.
Denzel was good. That was one of the few that they did a good job.
Yeah, great movies. That new TV show. I saw the new one.
They have a chick, I think, that's the equalizer.
Queen Latifah. I want to add a couple of physical pieces to that. Everyone's talked about tech so far, but these same things apply to your physical life. If you are going out and driving around and doing things, but one day I'm going to meet with Matt, so I decide to run a surveillance detection route, but you don't do that every single day, you're changing your pattern of life. So maybe get in the habit of cutting through a couple parking lots on your daily drives so that nothing looks unusual, right? Think about physical things like that. The other solution a lot of guys start talking about is, oh, I'm going to get encrypted radios. And Matt and I argue with people on the internet about this all day long. All you do when you get an encrypted radio and start using encryption is draw attention to your radio traffic. You let people know you're talking about something very, very interesting, and that's going to draw more attention to you. Instead, get on some typical radio frequencies everybody else is using, like GMRS, and make it sound like a business conversation. Now you're actually truly hidden. When you start using encryption, you're making them know you're talking about something they want to know about. You have to be careful about that. And the other thing I want everyone to be careful about in your footprint is your trash. As a career investigator, started out as a CID agent and did things throughout my career as a corporate investigator, what you throw in the trash will land you in prison. Don't throw things in your trash and put it outside, because that's not yours anymore. Once you put it at the curb, it is free game for anyone who comes by, because you are discarding it. It is no longer yours. And you'll be amazed at what a garbage hauler will do for $50, right? He'll hold that trash bag, give it to whomever at the end of the street. I've told them that we were from different task forces, and we've never had to show ID to get them to give us the trash. They just hand it to you, right? So be careful of what you put in your trash. We're not telling you these things to avoid illegal activity. If you do illegal activity, that's on you. But in our changing information environment, because somebody asked this question in the chat, why does this matter to the average citizen? They're determining every day that normal things are illegal. Read the indictments for the January 6th people. He purchased a tactical black backpack and a black balaclava on Amazon, so therefore he must be a criminal. That's not true at all. So maybe if you limit your digital footprint and stop buying everything you get on Amazon, you might be able to prevent that. So we're just trying to give you some ideas to keep your life a little more private. But think about the physical as well as the electronic. It's the biggest thing I wanted to say.
Hey, guys, one thing. Tradecraft is hard.
Yes.
Okay. There's a reason we teach courses on this, and there's a reason not everybody does it. And there, you know, you have to kind of create a flow chart about how you go about this. You know, some of the information,
right?
Largely. Yeah. You know, and I'm looking at the comments, somebody talking about SDRs. They should always look natural. That's absolutely right. And the way they look natural is you practice them on a regular basis. Every time I go into town, I do SDRs. I just don't even think about it.
Yeah,
what's an SDR? Habit, right? For those of you who don't know what it is, what's an SDR?
Surveillance detection run or route. So essentially, this is a way for me to change my pattern of movement as I drive or walk or ride a skateboard. Doesn't really matter. And I go in such a manner that it would show that someone is following me. It would show that someone has an unnatural interest in me. Okay. So a super simplistic way of describing this would be, I'm going down the road. I see a McDonald's drive in there. I pull in, act like I'm going to go in the drive-in. I bypass it. I go around the building. I go out the other side of the block, turn left, turn right, and I'm back on my original course. So if someone were to follow me throughout that ridiculous little chain of events, and that's not a very good one, that's just a kind of an illustrative point, get kind of creative with it. Okay. You can use your imagination, look at what's in your local town, what's in the area you're in, and start playing with it, start doing it. And also something else I keep seeing in the chat, proton mail. Proton mail is a good option as far as email goes, but email is a dumpster fire of security, and there's no real way to fix it. There isn't. So perish the thought. Nobody should be using email of any kind for serious business. Okay. But just burn that one into your brain right now. Even if you're using PGP encryption, even if you're using a provider that's shielding or replacing your IP chain with their IP, like even Google does that, Proton Mail does that. That's all well and good, but I can still track you, okay? And I can still pull up a ton of metadata, and that metadata is necessary for email to function. So this is akin to removing all the external writing off of an envelope that you're trying to send through the traditional mail system. If you were to do that, your mail would not go anywhere, correct? That's the problem with the email. So there's better options. And, you know, we've talked about Session. We've talked about some of these other better chat applications. All that great security is mitigated if somebody on one end of that conversation is not employing good human tradecraft, meaning they got shoulder surfed after that message is decrypted. And I've seen this in legal paperwork from the feds where they'll talk about, oh yeah, we cracked Signal or we cracked Wire or cracked this. No, they didn't. They screenshotted or looked over somebody's shoulder or had a confidential informant talking to the target. So that has nothing to do with the encryption or that application. That's a human failure. And the human failure is always the weak point. So that's why I go back to saying tradecraft is hard. You need to get proper instruction on how to do it. There are TTPs that need to be done. Okay.
That's so, training and tactics
and
procedures for those of you in RPC. And it's
way more difficult. You're not going to go to one of these classes and then all of a sudden you're going to be like a CIA officer. It's a lot easier to go to an intermediate medical class and retain information than it is to retain and exercise this type of information effectively. It's because it requires a lot of discipline, which most of us don't have. And you're not going to outsmart somebody who does this for a living, who has up to 200 people that can monitor you at the same time that do this for a living when you're just, you know, throwing away your grocery store membership card and getting a burner phone, you know, that you're fucked. So just.
Well, let's not black pill people now.
No, but, you know, just the whole building human connections thing and the alternative ways of communicating. And radios are good. I just want to touch on one thing before we change on the radios. Is I always tell people just get your standard FRS GMRS combo radios and then work your way up to a Baofeng or some programmable radio or whatever. And when you're using your radios, use them on the FRS channels that only put out a half a watt or 200 milliwatts, so a fifth of a watt, and use them on low power as a low power setting, and just communicate briefly. So your whole signature, your whole radio transmission signature is a lot smaller. You don't necessarily have to communicate with an encryption. And even when you have surveillance assets driving over, they're picking up all of those public channels and all of that traffic. And you're better off being like one little salmon in the salmon run of 10,000 salmon trying to swim upstream than like all these salmon and then a big dolphin, you know, and they're like, what's that? What's that fish? So, you know, a lot of the hardened stuff and a lot of the more sophisticated radios and all these other things, most of you are going to be communicating with your neighbors, you know, like every hour between 9:50 and 10:10, turn on your radios and turn them off. If you see a light or something, put them on. You don't need sophisticated radios to do that. And then you're going to meet your amateur radio operators. You're going to meet all these other people that do long distance communication. You're adding, I see a lot of like, oh, I got to get an HF radio, and I'm not going to get an amateur radio license because fuck the government. And so then you're just going to trash the net and be a retard and not know how to use your shit anyway. And I got to get a pressure canner, and I got to get night vision, and I got to get a four-wheel drive, this 1984 or earlier, and I got to get a fucking machine gun. Just focus on
about me here, okay? I know that you've been working with me.
What I'm saying is,
and I know that we've had some therapy sessions, but we're not talking about me right now.
Yeah, I'm not talking about you either. But you know what I mean. A lot of people are like, I got to add that to the shopping cart. That's a new skill that I need. Well, the thing that you pay for doesn't convert itself into a skill set to use the thing that you paid for. So just focus on the things that you're good at and then focus on finding friends that are good at other things that you're not good at. Like I had Juno over here, Steve, this weekend, literally saved her life, by the way, because I took her blood pressure and it was 162 over 121. And I went, holy shit. And I evacuated her inside, got her cooled off, you know, and everything. But she got checked out today. Anyway, what I'm saying is we have associates that do things better than us, and you want to be humble. You want to humble yourself. You want to learn from other people, and don't try to do all of these different things. Just follow the basic, you know, the basic guidelines, the dummy's guide to not you know, putting incriminating shit into email, and then and just be good with those new disciplines that you have, and then inculcate those into your brain, you know, and then move on to the next thing.
And a good thing to a good rule of thumb for all of this is that's why I've been talking about sphere of influence now for 2 years, is that you're building a network of people with complementary skills, so you don't have to figure all this out yourself, right? And look, you have to, when we talk about you got to get right mentally, you got to get right physically, we're not just talking about being prepared for kinetic action. We're talking about being able to accept help, being able to ask for help, being able to realize when you need help from other people and being able to ask for it. Most people, especially guys, drilled into our head, you got to be tough, you got to be strong. Look, when you're in any kind of a contingency operation, you have to work with other people to get through that situation. You can't do everything yourself. You can't lift a tree off of a car to get somebody else and to get somebody out of the car by yourself. You have to leverage other people. And part of getting your brain right is putting your ego to the side and literally looking at the situation objectively and looking at the skill sets around you to best leverage those skill sets so that you can share the wealth and get through tough situations. Part of this technical stuff, and I can tell you there's every demographic in this audience right now. There's the highly technical, there's the non-technical, and there's the people that know how to do the ONOFF recycle. And I will tell you that knowing somebody that's technical will get you a lot farther than spending hours trying to nug your way through an operating system, especially Windows or Apple. If you've never used it before, that's a steep learning curve. Now is not the time to be doing that. Now is the time to be working physically, mentally, and spiritually to get ready for what's coming, because the fight's on. When they talk about monkeypox and they're literally trying to push that bullshit, it means they have an agenda to lock down society again, and they're going to do it. So now's the time to get right spiritually, physically, and mentally so you can be ready for that fight. You don't have time to fuck around with Windows and deal with that black hole of dysfunction to try and figure out how to lock that flaming pile of shit down. Not that that's my outside voice. By the way, I'm an equal opportunity Windows hater. Friends don't let friends use Windows because Microsoft stands for two words: doesn't work.
Hey, anyway, Steve.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of comments about our vernacular, and I'm just going to try to make a new rule that maybe we shouldn't say the fuck word 5 or 6 times per minute. You know, maybe only 3 or 4 times per minute. I'm just trying to make the audience happy here. Okay, thank you.
Fuck that. Anyway, I'm being somewhat facetious, but the bigger picture here is you're hearing from the experts, right? And there's a number of different aspects technically you can look at, but a good rule of thumb is the least amount of tech you have, the better off you're going to be, especially when you're moving around and you're trying to coordinate with other people. It minimizes your footprint of being collected on. It minimizes your footprint of being eavesdropped on. And it minimizes your footprint of building life patterns. That's the big picture. So keep that in mind. And shout out to Paul for sending me that note on Truth Social today. I appreciate you doing the dry run for 3 days. Hopefully you guys got some learning out of that with no power, water, et cetera. You learned some field hygiene. Your family understood what you were talking about as far as how hard it is to be in an environment without those amenities. So good job on that. So we're coming up on, we got about 15 minutes left. One thing I want to talk about is radio communication security and signals intelligence. We got about 10 minutes to talk through that. I know that's not enough time. We'll pick it up again next week, but we should at least, you know, talk about the top, I don't know, 2 or 3 things that people can do for ComSec and SIGINT. And Matt, I know this is your specialty. I think you wrote a book on this, so I'm going to let you start.
I wrote a number one bestseller on it, but, just a little flex, but, when it comes to ComSec communication security, the biggest thing with that is keep your transmissions short. Keep them short. Say what you need to say and get off the net. All right. You don't need to sit there and transmit everything. So in the Gorilla's Guide to Signals Intelligence, which is the counterpart book to the SIGINT course that I teach, Signals Intelligence course. Obviously, I cover this in deep detail. But one of the things that poses a real threat to any sort of collection, whether it is you know, your neighbors spying on you, whether it is you know, the local gang with a scanner or whatever, and I could go all night talking about the tools of the trade because I sell those also and cover them in detail, how to set them up and what you need to do. But depending on, you know, ranging from whoever it is, like, you know, a threat that might be in your community to, you know, governmental agencies, whatever. One thing that is surefire to stymie them is using local vernacular in a way that they do not understand. And the example that I'm going to give here is twofold. When the Russians invaded Chechnya in 1996, their second invasion, one of the great problems that they had on the ground focused on signals intelligence. So the Chechens knew at that point that everything that they had over VHF in particular was going to be monitored. And so what do you do in that regard when you have an adversary that can break literally anything? They have almost unlimited resources in that regard. What do? You flood the airwaves with erroneous traffic, which is exactly what they did. They gave radios to everybody in all of the villages of Dagestan, northern Chechnya, all the way down to Grozny, that they knew that they were going to be invaded. So they generated all of this erroneous traffic. It burned the SIGINT guys out because they're having to sit there and collect hours and hours and hours of nonsense. You can't get anything out of this, right? So that's the first step. The second part of that example is CB traffic, where I live. And when I taught out in Montana, I literally was giving this example, and it came true out there as well. We have a huge population of illegals here, right? Migrant labor that have come in, and they're a great example of a lot of the underground economy, parallel economy. They use CBs, right? So they're using citizens band radio, which is 26 to 27 megahertz. They're literally using that for everything. And, you know, they're on all of the channels. And I was giving them this example in Montana. And then
we did that in Montana. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Joe was there. I'm glad he jumped back in. You know, Joe was there, and it was kind of funny because I was throwing this out there, and we get on the air, and all of a sudden there's nothing in Spanish, right? Well, I'm a decent enough Spanish speaker, but, you know, I understand the basic vocabulary and basic subject-verb agreement, and I can hold a very basic rudimentary conversation. Somebody who is a fluent native speaker is going to be able to use slang terms that I'm never going to understand. Okay. I'm never going to penetrate that barrier. That was the same problem that we had in Iraq. That was the same problem we had in Afghanistan when we would have, a Cat 3 interpreter, which was, you know, usually a U.S. citizen who was a native speaker. But they were outside of that local vernacular, that local structure. A lot would be lost in translation, right? So when we're intercepting that traffic, we're hearing it. Okay, so I'm picking up, like around here, okay, I'm picking up, you know, this guy is advertising chickens and goats, right? And he's talking about how much they cost. But do I really know? And he's doing this on CB. Do I really know, though, that on Friday he's going to be selling chickens and goats at the, you know, in the parking lot of Tractor Supply. Do I really know if that's what he's selling or is he speaking in code? I have no idea, right? There's absolutely nothing that I can do to try and figure that out, you know, other than doing the legwork. So there's a very important lesson to be learned in there. You're using local vernacular. Well, that's the type of encryption, right? Anything that obfuscates what the actual contents of the message is being sent, the payload of the message that's being sent, you're going to be good to go, you know, and keep it innocuous. And so for everybody around here who's not a Spanish speaker, I fell victim to this, by the way, years ago. And Joe, I credit him in every class. You know, when we were doing the class in Michigan, you corrected my thinking because I had written CB off completely.
Yeah.
Because around here, it's nothing but Spanish. There's nothing but illegals that are on there. There's really nobody that I actually want to talk to for any useful purpose. You know, and because there's so much junk on the airwaves, this really doesn't have any kind of tactical purpose to me. Well, adjust that thinking because actually I can hide in the weeds at that point. When there's so much erroneous traffic and everybody else is thinking exactly like I am, right? Exactly like I was saying, ah, man, you know, like whatever. I ain't listening to all that. I don't have time to listen to all that. Well, that's when I send my little short data burst of encrypted traffic using open source programs that we utilize in class. Or maybe that's when I'm going to send up that salute report or, you know, whatever it might be in the clear, you know, hey, there's a number of ways to utilize something outside of the parameters of, you know, conventional thinking. That's where we get the whole term unconventional warfare, right? We're not coloring inside the lines here. We're going outside the lines. Where the hell are even the lines, right? So, you know, it's a good friend of mine, MARSOC operator, just great, great dude. He's medically retired. Lives here in North Carolina, and he had a saying. I had him in class, an RTO course, and we've become very good friends. He had a saying that I took with me, and I want to share it with everybody. There is no box. We were having this conversation after hours over many, many beers and more whiskey and cigars, and it's good for us. And I was saying, you know, you just got to think outside of the box. He goes, there is no box. There is no box. If you start thinking that there is no box, there's no parameters that you have to operate within, you can really broaden your mind as far as what you can achieve. And I love that saying so much. I blatantly stole it from him. So anyway.
In short, speak jive. Go watch the movie Airline, Airplane, and speak jive, especially on the radio. It'll throw him for a loop.
I'm Detroit. I'm very fluent.
I figured you were. Okay, so we got 10 minutes left. Let's do closing comments. Before I do that, for those of you who are new to the show, because I was looking at some of the comments earlier, those of you new to the show, Trooper runs Trooper Care Network. He's been with me pretty much since the start of the Rumble podcast. Joe Dolio has written the Tactical Wisdom series. It's on Amazon. And Joe, what's the website they could buy it off of directly from you?
Tactical-wisdom.com, because I'd rather you put the money in my pocket than Jeff Bezos's pocket.
And then Matt runs brushbeater.org or brushbeater.store. He's got all kinds of night vision, field equipment, etc. Chris is at combatstudiesgroup.substack.org. Did I get that right? Or .com?
Blogspot.
Blogspot. I always fuck that up. So you're hearing from experts. These guys do this for a living. They train this for a living. Here's the short answer. You can't be good at everything. So pick the things you're good at. Find people that are good at the things you're not good at. Build relationships. Build a community. You're going to need it moving forward. That's the short answer. Let's start with closing comments. Chris, let's start with you tonight.
Well, as I think everyone's clear on now, tradecraft's a difficult thing. I do have some courses coming up. I'll be out at Brushbeater's place in November, which I always look forward to. We'll be doing a gunfight concepts course, a ground rod level one, which is basic tradecraft.
And we're trying to get you down here, Chris. Don't forget that September, we're trying to get you here.
Yeah, we're trying to do a gunfight concepts down in Phoenix area in September. And then ground rod level three back at Scout's Place. And that's where we actually get you out on the street and you actually start blending old school human skills with the digital stuff. And even we have a escape and evasion lab built in just for good measure. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of stressful, but it's good for you. So that's what we got coming up.
Matt.
So I will be out in Texas, not this coming weekend, but the next. I think that class might have one slot left in it. I had a couple of signups today. That's going to be a huge class. It was like, you know, I had more spots in that course than normal. Like I normally do when I'm traveling, but you know, you're going to be, it's in Plano, Texas. So if you're in North Texas, you're looking for combo training, you know, we're doing RTO course, a couple spots left in there. I think rounding it out, like right at 30, it might be at 30 right now. So a big class. Yeah, big class, a lot of cool people in there. I do believe some company reps from AGM will very likely be showing up. Got off the phone with them today, but a lot of cool stuff. So, you know, because AGM, thermal and night vision company, is a Texas company based out of San Antonio, and they're super, super excited to get out there and meet some of y'all in person, and, you know, and get to hang out with you in class and after hours. You know, obviously we're going to be doing some awesome stuff in class as well, but that's going to be a heck of a good time. You know, I've got a ton of products that are up on the store. We have rolled out. I was the initial rollout for the version 2 Rattler thermals, both the clip on and the scopes. Those have almost sold out, which is absolutely insane how quick they're going. Armasite as well, had a long conference call with them today, doing some work with them, some product development work. There's some really cool things with Armasite that are coming down the pipe that I'm going to be talking about in the near future. Night Vision Front, the companies that I'm working with Night Vision, Elbit is seriously ramping up production. It is a really good thing. I talked to them direct today. There's a lot of good stuff on the horizon, right? A lot of good stuff on the horizon. And these are all companies that support us, by the way, that support freedom loving Americans. I deal with them. I talk to everybody, the brass in these companies almost now on a daily basis. And it's just really exciting. But you can find all the products over brushbeater.store. Of course, the books are over there. I've got a full restock of pretty much all of the books now are back in. Got signals intelligence equipment, communications equipment, obviously night vision, thermal. Everything, by the way, everything has the OTOF, Oscar Tango, Oscar Fox discount on it. And so you can enter that and check it. Oh, yeah. You're going to get the best discount possible out there. And that is off of the listed price. And the listed price on all big ticket stuff is literally as low as it's going to go with all the dealer agreements that I have. And you're able to use your discount on top of that. So that is absolutely the best price that you are going to get.
And his AR-152s are cheaper than Amazon, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah. I have a huge shipment of those, by the way. I ordered a couple of pallets of them. So one pallet is 200 radios. So I got 400 that will be arriving soon. They're a little bit overdue, but it's FedEx being FedEx. But they will get here, and when they do, they are cheaper than Amazon. I look at Amazon as my competition, so I'm going to price match anything that I see on there. I going to do the best that I can on it because I live to serve this community.
Troop, you're up.
I'm not sure if we talked all the way through the whole monkeypox lockdown thing. But yeah, we're not going to be complying with any of that stuff. Controls, masks, any of that. I'm looking forward to the September thing. We haven't worked out the details on it, but I'm really looking forward to whatever that's going to be. That'll be really cool. So the Trooper Care Network, if you go to troopercarenetwork.com, it's going to plug. I have no problem shamelessly begging on behalf of our homeless brothers and sisters. That's what I do in my free time, and I'm growing that mission. So basically the Trooper Care Network is taking care of our fellow Americans who are homeless and breaking a lot of the perception of why people are homeless and who's homeless. Everybody thinks they're just loser drug addicts and whatever, they deserve it. There are a lot of people like you and I that for a number of reasons ended up homeless. So we're out there every Saturday treating them to our highest level of competency from a medic perspective, and then giving them referrals out. And we treat a lot of very serious wounds out there, and it's excellent training. And we put a lot of those videos on the Trooper channel to educate people, because these are the same types of wounds that you're going to encounter in an austere environment, namely the city. If the power goes out and the water goes out and you don't have any sanitation and limited resources and no 911. So pay attention to that. But I do appreciate the support, and I appreciate the support that Colonel Murray's provided through the sale of his t-shirts and stuff. All that goes to Band-Aids. The cool thing about my charity is I take $1 a year in salary, and then all the other money that is spent on that, you literally see me putting it on human beings and then talking through why we use certain dressings and treat different injuries a certain way. So it's an educational thing. I think it benefits people who watch those. Some people can't watch them. Some of them are kind of, some of the wounds are kind of gruesome. But it's a good cause. And my dream for that is to replicate that nationwide, because if we took care of our own, we wouldn't need all these social welfare programs, even though honestly, some of the people out there are a result of poor leadership and bad policy. We were trying to work all those angles. So, I'm engaged as a precinct committeeman, and I'm a vice chair in my legislative district to try to address the public policy side. And then out there on the street, just, because I don't have any grandkids, so they're kind of like my grandkids. But it requires a lot of touch time and a lot of money to do that. So I'm the biggest contributor to it. And then everybody collectively in the internet is the second biggest contributor to the charity. So I appreciate your support. And it's really not just a mission to help our fellow Americans, but it's also a mission to educate people on the very simple basic skills that you need and the very simple basic tools that you need to assure that you're maintaining hygiene and maintaining wound care protocols with your family, your neighborhood, your group, yourself. So I appreciate that support.
Joe, sorry.
All right. You can check out my class schedule at tactical-wisdom.com. I will be down as soon as NC Scout leaves his place. I will be down there teaching a class on community security operations, learning how to protect a small neighborhood or a farm or whatever kind of a bug out location you have from the Mongol hordes that are coming, right? How to set up checkpoints, how to conduct security patrolling and developing your own security plan. So it's going to be kind of a fun class. There are a few seats left in it. I've got some guys coming down there. It'll be in Northern North Carolina. My next class after that is also at the Brushbeater facility. We're going to do Fieldcraft, which is a great opener class to taking Matt's Scout and Recce course. It develops the more basic skills to get you to that level to operate in Matt's Scout and Recce courses. And I think next year we're going to offer those all as one package. And then I got some classes in Missouri coming up after that. So check my schedule at tactical-wisdom.com. Come out and train, learn some basic security and field craft skills. And you know what? I know that Trooper just talked about it, but there's another charity I wanted to mention, and it's the Northwest Montana Veterans Food Pantry. We held a big event for them a couple of weeks ago, and Al and Linda are just fantastic people. Al's been serving the veterans of Northwest Montana for 35 years, and I'm going to do my best to ensure that that man can retire by taking on the mantle and doing what I can to kind of fill his shoes. So check that out for me and let me know what you think. It's called veteransfoodpantry.org.
I'll put it in the comment section. Thanks, Joe. That's good stuff.
Yep.
A couple of things. Shout out to O'Bradley. That donation will go to Troop. In fact, all the donations that come in through the chat, those will go to the Trooper Care Network. And now, once we get set up with you, Joe, we'll make sure if we funnel off some of this to go to that as well. So we'll be back tomorrow night with the audio show. We'll probably talk more about this as well as some of the physical side of the house being physical security. There's a lot to that. A couple of things that I was asked during the show I want to answer. First of all, good rule of thumb, especially on the airplane, when you're on an airline and you're using airline Wi-Fi. I don't usually use Wi-Fi in the airplane because it's unencrypted to the ground. It's unencrypted on the airplane, and you can collect on that anywhere, either in the ground or literally in the plane. And if you have blue, I turn off my Bluetooth when I literally turn off everything on my phone when I jump on a plane. I don't have anything emitting, not even my Wi-Fi on my laptop or Bluetooth on my laptop. You would be surprised who's listening on a plane. So keep that in mind as well. I usually go dark when I travel for a couple of reasons. And if you have a business cell phone, that thing should be sterile of anything that has any personal information. It should be completely sterile. The other piece about it, good security hygiene for any situation is minimize the amount of personal information you put anywhere and keep it localized. You can, and I know a lot of people have Google Drive, they have Apple Cloud, they have Microsoft Cloud. Pull all that stuff down. It's a pain in the ass to do it on Google, but you can do it. And now's the time to pull it all down. I expect probably in the next few weeks, we'll see another cyber event. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen anything in Iran. We'll talk about that next week, gents, because I'm waiting to see if something actually occurs there. So we've got lots of topics to talk about, but I'm trying to focus the next several weeks on things that you can actually tangibly use in your day-to-day life. So be looking for that over the next couple of weeks. Go ahead, Troop.
Wait, Steve, got one more thing.
Go ahead.
All right. So Teddy Spaghetti, I work for him as an instructor. He owns A to Z Security, and we have guardianangels.online. You can go there. I was chatting with him on the side, and we're working on facilitating classrooms in the ranges for September. So we have to fight with the other security companies to figure that out. But Teddy said he'd be happy to host you guys if you don't have a venue, and I don't have my training room built yet. So thank you, Teddy, and thank you, Guardian Angels Online. If you want to go there, if you're in Arizona, you can take our classes, but we're working on that. So is it 5 days? Is that the plan? What do you guys need?
Yeah, 5 days, permissive range, right, Chris? And then this course will be, folks, just so you know, I will be attending this course. I will actually be a student. So it's part of this course will be dedicated to not gunfighter skills, but unfucking the old man's bad habits. So just so you know, that's going to be part of the class because it is all about me. But yeah, you'll get to one thing you'll get to see if you could come down to Arizona for this. And as we get the range sorted over the next week and we get timing sorted out, we'll publish the dates for this. But one thing you'll get to see is you'll get to see us, and you'll get to see that not all of us are fluent in gunfighter skills, even though, I work around guns, even though I shoot a lot, Troop shoots a lot, your skills atrophy. This is a good way to see that. So anyway, and these guys are
experts. Teddy just joined the chat. Say hi, Teddy. Thank you.
Hi, Teddy. So Teddy's instructor too. If you want to learn good basic firearm skills, he and Troop run courses here all the time. that is a fantastic way to get proficient and learn familiarization. Chris, anything you want to add to this other than unfuck the old man?
Gunfight Concepts is 3 days. If you're thinking of five, like the last one I taught, I did a 2-day CQB add-on. So that's what that would look like if we do 5 days.
Okay. So we'll plan for at least 3 days, hopefully five, if we can work the ranges. But yeah, so be looking for that, folks. I'll post it to, I'll post the dates to Telegram, to Twitter, and to True Social. But last thing I'll say, use your gear. Build your community, put your phone down, make human connections. We'll be back tomorrow night. God bless. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it. And we'll be back tomorrow night.
Hoo-ah!
Get this thing. All right, I should say, one team, one fight.
Hoo-ah.